From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Authorities in Japan have been using military helicopters, high-pressure water cannon, and fire trucks to try to cool down the overheated nuclear power complex. The moves come as the top U.S. nuclear regulatory official, Gregory Yatsko, indicated that the damage to at least one of the reactors there is more serious than Japanese officials have acknowledged.
We believe that secondary containment has been destroyed, and there is no water in the spent fuel pool. And we believe that radiation levels are extremely high, which could possibly impact the ability to take corrective measures.
Yatsko testifying before a congressional panel there. NPR's Richard Harris joins us now from Tokyo. Richard, what are authorities there saying about the spent fuel storage area?
Well, the authorities here acknowledge that the water levels are low, perhaps dangerously low, in those spent fuel pools. And it's a huge problem that they're trying to address right now. The helicopters... Four flights were over the plant in the last 12 hours or so, and they were not successful. Most of the water seemed to fall off mark, and the radiation levels were quite high, and so they've stopped flying helicopters. Right now, they have been starting to try these water cannons, firing water from essentially riot control vehicles. The first vehicle, according to NHK TV, which is the national broadcaster, couldn't get close enough. They tried to squirt, but they couldn't hit the building. A second attempt has been made with another water cannon, according to NHK, and we don't know what the status of that is right now.
So they're trying to be creative, but these measures sound a little desperate, are they, do you think?
Well, clearly, with each passing day without solving the problem's getting worse and worse. The fuel's getting hotter, the reactors are gradually warming up, and the radiation levels at the plant are quite high and making it very difficult and, in fact, dangerous to work there. So things are getting worse, not better, it appears.
And Richard, another area of disagreement between U.S. officials and authorities in Japan is over how far people should stay away from that damaged complex. What can you tell us about that?
U.S. officials recommend the sort of standard evacuation distance for a U.S. plant, which is a greater distance than the Japanese had set for their personnel. The U.S. plan is, however, backed up with some real analytical data, which suggesting that there could be significant amounts of radiation out at that distance. The good news is downwind most of the time is out in the ocean, so there are essentially no people out there anyway, but it is clearly an area of concern.
Thanks very much. That's Richard Harris reporting from Tokyo. The Senate is expected to approve this afternoon the latest stopgap spending bill to keep the federal government funded and operating. The measure would provide 3 weeks of funding and include an additional $6 billion in spending cuts. This is NPR News. The Environmental Protection Agency is proposing the first national standards for mercury pollution from power plants. Joshua Stewart of Georgia Public Broadcasting reports the rules would stop about 91% of mercury emitted by burning coal and oil.
The EPA's proposed rules meet a court-ordered deadline to curb mercury and other metals that power plants release. Those plants are the largest source of mercury emissions into the air. EPA Region 4 Administrator Gwendolyn Keyes-Fleming says the rules have been a long time coming.
Very hard to make sure that it's done in a reasonable fashion that allows us for the most health protection and benefit possible with reasonable cost.
The rules will impact 525 power plants in the U.S., but EPA estimates about half already meet the new standards. Mercury is known to cause developmental problems in young children. For NPR News, I'm Joshua Stewart in Atlanta.
Regulators in California are threatening a major utility with stiff fines in connection with last September's gas pipeline explosion there. NPR's Richard Gonzalez reports Pacific Gas and Electric faces potential fines of up to $1 million a day.
The explosion killed 8 people and destroyed 38 homes. The California Public Utilities Commission ordered the company to produce pipeline pressure records for transmission lines in populated areas. PG&E turned over some, but not all the records requested, says Commission Executive Director Paul Clannon.
They need to get the message that business as usual doesn't cut it, and they need to get us the records that we need to set those pressures safely.
A PG&E spokesman says the company provided records for 90% of its pipelines, but would not comment on the threat of fines.
This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR.